At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know how when they yell cut, they wouldn't stop.
That's interesting.
What?
Yes.
If you were Donna, what would you have said?
I said...
A waitress, rather, call the police. And she was mistaken for cops.
Along with your host, Charles Rosen.
But look at that Dean cake. And Dan probably got the best performance he ever gave.
We're having a meeting here?
Oh, at least there's one person on this... for Costa set that knows what they're doing.
Larry Mullen.
I had a friend named Craig Richland. There was still cocaine around and stuff. I always remembered him, and I just kind of thought I would honor my coke dealer.
Get out of here!
Pete Ferrero.
Here's what I learned. It's possible Claire would have gone out with me.
That was your takeaway.
So sit back and relax, because it's like totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Just hold on to me tonight.
Okay, here we are on the Beverly Hills 90210 show, back again. Larry, you are on the East Coast.
Yes.
How is the vineyard?
Dreary and rainy and cold.
Oh, it's beautiful here in LA, just so that you're just catching up with what's going on out here. How is our things on the vineyard? Have you started clamming?
I've been clamming. Tonight we actually had... I made the clams casino, and we had clams oregano and salad, and those were fantastic. I've been clamming already a couple of times. The water's very cold, but there's no crying and clamming, and you just got to do it. It's like a cold plunge. It's very hip.
We also have Drew Kinney back. How are things with you, Drew?
It was good. We tried to get clams, but Howard Johnson's didn't exist.
Bring back memories for me, man. That's it.
Oh, things are good. Things are good, man.
Yeah, doing all you can eat. All you can eat Fridays.
You're doing the record show stuff, right? How is and you'll help anybody find vinyl, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's one of the things we enjoy. It's like, you know, finding the needle in the haystack for somebody.
Vinyl detective.
Yeah.
And of course, Brian Navarro. How is everything on Reddit?
Good. We're, you know, doing the rewatches tonight. We're doing You Say Goodbye, I Say Hello, which is, you know, it's Vanessa Marsil's first episode, which had me thinking, once we do later stuff, I'd love to get Karen Austin on the show, who, of course, played Gina's mom.
You know,
I have a question for Brian. Mm-hmm. How is we've had a trend in the last month or two where Tori, Jenny, and Shannon are all doing very intimate podcasts. Are people chiming in on those podcasts and really?
Oh, Brian. First of all, let's take that one step at a time. Brian, what are people saying about Tori's podcast? They must absolutely love this misspelling. She's so authentic and giving really good insight. What are people saying?
Oh yeah, people love it. And I mean, like the guy that does the recaps for here, we get recaps for all the, you know, there's a recaps for Shannon's podcast, recaps for Tori's.
He's going to forget about doing our recaps. He's got so much recap work.
And what, the recaps are being sent over to social media. That's what we're doing.
What was that?
I think they're having some impact. I mean, I'm glad the kids are doing it. We all love it. Happy for them. You know, rising tide lifts all 90210 boats.
People love Shannon's, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody's all on board for Shannon. I mean, that subreddit, I mean, it's nothing but love for Shannon.
What about Jenny's?
Oh, Brady, Brian, how are people talking? What are people saying about Jenny's?
I choose me.
I haven't seen too much about Jenny's podcast on there yet.
Really, Brian? Is that true?
I'm trying to be diplomatic. Well,
I know. I've been seeing on social media a lot of pictures of Tori with Pete Ferrero. What's going on there?
Tell us about that, Pete.
I did. Here's a picture of that. I did get to hang out with Tori. I'm making a fun documentary, and she came and hung out with me and was just so sweet and funny. And I also hung out with Lindsay Price from the later seasons, too. So there's a lot of 90210 in this little pizza documentary.
Oh, nice.
I'm getting like so many comments about and follows on my Instagram from this Tory picture. It's just very bizarre, and I'm really just having fun with it.
Hey, I want to mention something, Pete. Today at a meeting at Food Lion, it was like an annual thing with our department, and somebody mentioned Tory's podcast.
It's
so yeah. I should also mention I've got my young adult novel coming out, and one of the things I asked Jason, Tori, Jenny, and Brian for was some blurbs about me as a writer in this genre, and they all just wrote wonderful things, which will be on the back cover and inside the jacket of the book.
So again, not everybody. To keep giving so much Tori love here, because that's what I do now, but and it's well deserved. But I thought hers of the things on the back cover was the best one.
Oh yeah.
Boss. Okay, I don't know if you want to spoil
it. I'll tell you about that one later. Anyway.
But is it a spoiler really alert?
Guys, Kid is going to be coming out just like really about a month from now. It's just all the final things are going on. My publishers are terrific.
That's great. Okay. So we are going to take a quick little break. And then when we come back, we will jump into housewarming. I've been calling it heartwarming for a while. It's not the name. Housewarming. Okay.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. Check out all the latest rad stuff from the Beverly Hills 90210 Show Shop. They have everything you could possibly imagine. So, like, go there now, okay?
All right. So, housewarming. Season 7, Larry.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the season. This was aired in September. It was an early episode. We were just starting to get our things together. Kelly's getting off of been working at the AIDS hospice, and you know, things are going on. People are relationships are coming together and falling apart, and new characters are being introduced.
Maggie says, "Is David coming by to make margaritas?" So we'll get into that. We'll get into that in a second, because that's one interesting part of this story here. So you really love this actor, Mark Reese, because you hire this actor, and he's full throttle in this season. Like, he is being brought to the main event. This would be like WWE being brought right to the main event.
Yeah, he's going on TV right away. He's not in a dark match. He's not in a dark match at all.
Not
he's
even
getting a push, Larry, is what we say in the wrestling business. He's getting a push.
He's getting a push.
Well, hey, so we're helping him get over. We're helping him get over.
There you go.
So you're helping him get over. You give him Kelly Taylor. You even build a house for Martin.
Exactly. Reese and I think that was a Drew. Was that was just a practical location, wasn't it? Is there? I think. Yeah. I was thinking about that. We actually shot this in the hills. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves because it's a whole other thing we got to ask Gru about. But as far as Mark Reese goes, yeah, we invested a lot. This character, again, was a well-thought-out character. You've got all these kids from Beverly Hills, but this guy's from Bel Air. Bel Air eats Beverly Hills, okay? It's right above Beverly Hills. And that's where he's from. His connections are his father, you know, has been in the kitchen cabinet of Reagan. We imagined, you know, he's kind of really like blue blood California kid, and he's smart, and he's going to be, besides going after Kelly, he's going to be a competitor with Brandon. So we're loving this character. And
I mean, you have a house here. This house is Mark.
Going to have a house.
Mark and David are moving in together. This is what the theme of
all year. This is all year. We love this house. We probably made a good location deal with the house. It had a lot of good things. It had a pool, you know. We shot this obviously in August because it was a September episode, and the weather is great. And we invested a lot there. Just this is
now,
just
Drew. Do you remember Dalton James, the actor Mark Reese, the guy that plays Mark in this episode? You remember seeing him on set?
Just honestly, from watching the episode.
Okay, that's a very memorable impression.
And you guys haven't had Dalton on the show, have you?
No, Dalton won't come on the show. Hmm. He won't. Yep. Larry. Why won't
Dalton? Well, I'm going to say, look. I mean, the character's well set up there. And in this particular episode, you know, we're going to be having this fire emergency. And again, you know, this kind of thing, adversity kind of reveals character. And we're going to have, like, Mark be the guy really being there. I mean, being there for Kelly Taylor where Brandon was. And it's going to bring in all the bad vibes and memories for Kelly Taylor because we've got a fire going and Brandon abandoned her, was with him, Emily Valentine, all that good stuff. We're going to milk the shit out of that. And, You know, so that's good. He's, you know, we got some good scenes going for this guy. You know, plus he's already hip because he's living with David. And yeah, so much more so integrated than Ray, for example.
Okay, but he seems like in this episode, and we'll show some clips maybe later of him. It seems like it's all going fine here.
Everything is going fine. We have just started this. I don't think he's kissed Kelly Taylor yet, has he? I forget.
No kissing. He barely can get her to go out with him. It's just
no,
it's,
right. So we haven't really got to the point of contention, perhaps, you know, where there's a kissing problem. The kissing problem that happens yet. yeah, this is all great. I mean, you know, we're doing a big episode here. We got to, you know, besides that, we're also introducing the character of Dick Harrison, played by Dan Gauthier, which is going to end up in the Steve Claire triangle. And we're going to go for a bunch on that, too, even though we knew we were going to get out of that one. And at least in my mind, because I was planning the season, I knew I was going to probably kill him off. I had in my mind, you know, one of those memorials outside the club, you know, someone overdosed. It's kind of like the River Phoenix died outside the mask.
Is this what brought this on with Dick?
I mean, again, we were absorbing everything happening in LA. Everything was fair game. You know, when you're doing 32 hours a year, you need lots of content. You gotta find it. And you want to have that flavor. Like having a fires in the fall, that was pretty cool. And I mean, you guys, did you watch the episode, Drew?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's production wise, pretty fucking good. Yeah. Hello, Chip Chalmers, wherever you are. You did a nice job directing this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that we've talked about this on a couple of episodes now, but at some point, things don't go well for Dalton James. Things go haywire. So, At this point, you're like so happy, and are you looking at these dailies of Dalton saying this is fucking great?
This is kind of what I want. It's kind of like an edgy character. He's got this kind of a wine, kind of like a Nicholson wine, and again, he's from Bel Air. We know it's gonna story wise, it's gonna hold up. There's good stuff we can do there that really rubs our guys the wrong way. So it's perfect character.
Somebody on Instagram keeps writing this. I'm just going to read it. So hopefully this will just end it. Oh God, please one day have Vanessa Marcel on the podcast. It's various variations of that. No, there's that. That's the end of that. So what happens though with Dalton?
What do you mean?
What happens?
Well, I thought we're talking about housewarming. I mean,
we are going to talk about it, but happens?
What happened was, as I've said, and there was a kissing problem. That's what I'm surmising, and I'm going with that.
But when I'm just thinking of you now, looking at this daily in this episode, and feeling like, wow, this is great. So the shock when you went into Mr. Spelling's office to hear that there was a problem with Dalton James, it had to be shocking.
Yes, of course. That's why he. That's why he really, you know, he covered himself by really, you know, nuking the guy personally. He just nuked him in front of our eyes, and we fell for it.
And that was that. And that was the end of Dalton James. Okay, so the fire. Let's talking about the fire, bringing the fire back.
I mean, you're in the hills, and in September, the winds start blowing, the Santa Ana start going, and, you know, shit's going to happen.
Chip told me that they shot the fires, that they really shot these scenes of the fires. Is that true, Drew?
I don't remember so much, but I
like that. That would have been a second unit.
Yeah, I would say so.
Not a first unit, because the house was in Coldwater Canyon, so there was no fire going on in any of those canyons at that time, where we wouldn't have been there. We wouldn't have put the people there.
Right. The house itself, Drew, you were starting to talk about that before.
Yeah, it was actually really – I mean, we looked at a bunch of houses, but that one was particularly good because of where it sat on the ridge in Coldwater Canyon. When you were looking away from the house, you were looking at other ridges towards Laurel Canyon over to Hollywood down to downtown. And so there was good, like, you know, because one of the things, especially at that time in LA, you always had to consider if you were shooting things, you had to match smog too. That's cool. Looking away from the house, you see the smog. When you do the shots of the fire, it actually cuts together real well because you could misinterpret the smog as smoke. And yes. So the shots of the fire are total inserts, completely separate from anything else, but it's cut well enough together, and that layer of smog makes it feel like it's happening right there on the next ridge.
You know, we should point out our friend Jerry U. Frizzell was the editor on this picture. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Absolutely.
Yes. Great job. I saw he responded to you. He's very busy.
Oh, did
today.
He?
Yes, he's very busy. Oh. Melissa Skillins says this episode is great because it sets the stage for all the relationships for the rest of the season. Tracy already sees Brandon focused on Kelly and Mark, Steve and Claire having issues, Donna taking care of David the first part of the season.
Oh, you're a Quaalude seltzer, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was absolutely amazing. Okay.
That's my partner.
Chrissy Lee says, I really hate to sound mean, but I wasn't a big fan of Kelly and sometimes thought she deserved Mark.
Well, again, what would impress a girl from Beverly Hills, a guy from Bel Air? I mean, so yeah, I like the way it was set up. I mean, they deserve, you know.
I have some clips. Let's take a look here.
Put it this way, Mark's family, there was no divorce in the Reese family, unlike Beverly Hills people. People in Bel Air didn't get divorced.
Off the bat, we're seeing this stuff.
Hi. Sounds like I woke you.
You did. Oh, what time is it anyway?
It's almost noon.
I can't believe I slept that long.
Listen, are you free today?
No, I told you I have to go to that party.
Will you do me a favor? Skip it.
I really need to see you this afternoon.
Did you talk to her?
Can we meet at the apartment around 1-ish?
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too. I'll see you soon.
That's such a mistake.
The I love
that's
you.
That's a male cheater mistake. you got to pay for that mistake, believe me. Never.
Well, especially Valerie Malone.
We did that intentionally because we wanted to screw it up. But yes, that's a big mistake he makes.
Well, especially to Valerie, who takes that to heart. That I love.
I mean,
you.
This guy Joey Gian, you know, yes. I have no idea. I just remember we cast him, but this guy's perfect. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, close your eyes, you think it's Sinatra. You know, it's kind of like really.
I think he does a Sinatra show.
It's just this, but a sleazy, like a, you know, bus and truck version of Sinatra.
Bus and truck. he's perfect.
Dinner theater version.
Definitely dinner theater.
In fact, he is a cabaret singer today. This guy Joey Gian, who hasn't come on our podcast, but he just knocks it out of the park as Kenny Bannerman. And what know, is this, it? Again, this was a good storyline for Valerie. She's got, you know, we got to give her some more adult storylines, and this one is perfect. You know, she meets the guy from Jim's office, the accountant from Jim's office. And he's got a wandering eye because he's bored with his family because probably his wife's fixated on the kid. And he just cheats and then just goes down the rabbit hole with Valerie.
I asked Diane Young about Joey and Joey Gian. And she said he was just somebody that kept, you know, that she had seen audition a bunch, but not for 90210. She said that he just seemed to have all the right characteristics for Kenny Bannerman.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah. But he's great. He's totally awesome in this.
Yeah, because I mean, he's just good looking enough and he's sophisticated enough for Valerie to kind of get hooked into him. And plus, she's trying to get free accounting work always. So, I mean, you know, it's like, it's a quid pro quo. You know, she is, you know, from Buffalo after all.
Brian, does Kenny Bannerman get any commentary on Reddit?
Oh, they absolutely love the guy, which, I mean, it's great. I mean, that's a testament. Like Larry said, it's the sleaze factor. They absolutely hate him, but, I mean, it's one of the most iconic storylines for people. I mean, to this day, people talk about Valerie and the diapers.
The thing for me, though, is Valerie is so...
Episode I wrote Fearless, I think it's in Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's so great. Stunning, yeah, Valerie.
It gave Valerie a chance to really be mean to somebody else in our gang. Kenny, I'm glad there's a Kenny Batterman fan club because
I'm in it.
Unfortunately, there's a little bit of Kenny Batterman in all of us.
That's the truth. All right.
It's one of the most memorable Val storylines, I would say.
Kristen wants to know, I don't know which Kristen this is, but hi, Kristen. How come you wanted another whole season with another guy after Colin until K/B reunion? I assume that's Brandon.
Right. Well, it's 32 episodes. You got to get to the Brandon thing. You don't want to have it for the whole season. So you need someone in there to kind of serve the story. You know, I don't think, you know, we thought he was going to become a heel. We knew, I think he was somewhat because he was going to be competitive with Brandon.
Yeah.
And also in a triangle with Brandon.
Where was this going? Larry, do you have any memories of where this was going to go with Mark Rees if he did not get fired?
Well, we would have had 20 episodes of him and Kelly living the life, and then we would have broke them up with something terrible, like, you know, the Dreyer scholarship thing or something where he reveals his true colors. Uh-huh. It would have happened a lot later.
I got it. So it would have been dates, bad dates, dates, ups and downs.
You know, you can't, like, you have to slow play the storyline.
Yes.
You got to get there. 32 hours, kids.
Maggie says Kenny can get it. Wow. Wow. Very interesting. All right. This stuff is going on here, too. This is the first part of this.
Perfect. Some states you need a license for massage like this.
Yeah, well, I actually have a license on my bedroom wall at home.
That's funny. You're funny. Excuse me, are you Steve Sanders?
Hey, Claire.
Hi. Hi, I'm Teresa.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you, Teresa.
You too, Steve. You really are funny, you know that.
Yeah, regular Conan O'Brien.
Come on. I don't know why, I'm giving you a second chance.
Well, you should, I deserve it.
No, you don't.
I do.
Shut up and kiss me anyway.
Okay, there's a lot to break. A lot to break down just in this one clip. First thing I want to ask you about is Conan O'Brien being referenced, which I thought was really cool to see in a 90210.
You try not to have too many topical references, but it actually held up. I guess people might know who he is. It was just again, the show's happening now. Don't forget, it was September where the show was. It's September where you were.
What did you think of the Claire and Steve kiss?
Excellent. Excellent, because her hand movements, you know, she was into this one. And again, it was before, we had some plans for this thing. We didn't really know where this storyline was going to go with the two of them. But, you know, we were willing to see what happens. And, again, these were not the big storylines, which was a lot of the complaint of Ian's. He always felt he was in the C story, which this was a C story.
So maybe he was right.
It is what it is.
What I love about this Claire Steve kiss is her like almost lock hold. I don't know what you would call it that she does.
There shows longing. You know, she's going to fight for her man. You know,
but she kind of. I like the locked arm. I like this. Like she's locking him.
He's marking a territory.
Well done. She's it's all going well. Steve is so stupid. Of course, he's gonna, get in more trouble in the C story.
Steve is such a jackass. I mean, I'm sorry, Claire, Teresa. I'm sorry.
I know. You don't know what you got till you move on.
Let's see. There's more of this Claire and Steve debacle.
Okay.
My one big point about this, to Brian's point, it's like, did you see what Claire is wearing here? What are you messing around with purple? You know what I mean? Like, this is
Claire. You're despicable.
Claire.
Don't even.
I don't ever want her to ever get that angry, like in any kind of conversation. It's one of my life goals. Yeah, no, I don't want to see that ever. But you're going to break them up.
Well, not necessarily. We're thinking about that at this point.
But, I mean, they do break up at the end of this episode.
Yeah, but because we're going to break them up. We're probably going to pull them back together. I think we do.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, work in the triangles. Bring in Dick Harrison, another really smart guy, smarter than Claire. Okay, this guy is super smart. He's so smart he takes heroin and overdoses. That's how smart he is.
Genius.
No, that's a good part of his character. And then we know we're going to be doing a whole rowing thing too. We get out on the Marina Channel there.
Oh, we have to cover that at some point, Larry. Yeah, people ask for us to cover that.
Looking for content. Look, you know, we've 32 hours. You got to have a lot of content. We need a new character, new things.
A lot of people want to know about where this, the origins of this.
That was more help with you or me. Don't just stand there. Scream for help. Help! Help! Well, that was effective. So we'll just have to wait it out. Hope someone finds us before it gets dark.
The deer. Larry, we just rewatched this. Where did this? Someone, by the way, Denise Young 712 says, "Nothing you wrote is a C. It's all brilliant." Just so. Well, when Ian came in and said that,
Jessica Klein has the credit on that. She certainly, she was a big Bambi fan. Look, we all again.
This is a little off.
Thinking about the territory in finding incident for us to deal with. We know we're going to have a fire. We know there's wildlife in the area, and then we know we're going to bring in this fireman character for Donna. So it all just kind of organically came together. In sitting around a room, spit firing, what kind of fun we could have with a fire on the hillside, and Donna.
Well, we just watched this, Larry. Do you think the deer storyline holds up?
Yeah, I kind of think it's kind of good. Yeah, I like it. I like the storyline. I didn't like so much was Brian getting sick so much. I didn't like seeing him having to throw up. I mean, I didn't like David Silver not holding his liquor. So that to me bothered me more. You know, why we needed David distracted so Donna could be by herself. I don't know. I forget why we did that. I just
That's
didn't
probably
like
why you did do
that way. You know,
that is why you did that.
Yeah, characters. But yeah, I like the deer thing. I think, and God, we must have had a deer wrangler, I guess, there, Drew, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the guy does a great job. The deer comes right to her. You couldn't ask for more.
Drew said it wasn't a random deer.
So just for clarity. It's a Hollywood deer.
Do you know, Drew, how they get the deer to go to Tori?
Well, I mean, there's lots of things they can do. I can tell you from working on dog food commercials.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to. Commercial where it was Jim Dandy dog food way back in the day, and it was this dog is looking at food in his bowl and it's not appetizing. It was all made out of wooden dowels and stuff, so it looked horrible. And another dog runs up and talks in his ear, and then they run to another dog and they chase a truck, but you had to get them to run up and talk to the other dog, so they stuck a little piece of hot dog in the dog's ear.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other dog walking
or peanut butter.
Yeah, and you couldn't tell what it was, and it's not something that hurts the other dog. It's just something that's a motivator to get the animal to do it. Yeah. So there was some food motivation because that's usually the thing you have to do with, especially wild animals. I mean, it's a little easier with the animals that are domesticated that can be trained, like a dog. You can train behaviors, but a deer, not really.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So Larry referred to it as a wild animal wrangler. But it feels deer specific.
Like a service, like they would be like they provide any animal you needed, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
gentle jungle was one I remember.
Yeah, I mean, they're not necessarily wild animals for them, but for the public, you'd think they're wild animals. You know, so like a deer that's been in a petting zoo is going to act differently than a deer that they captured.
Yeah, the venue was gentle jungle. I just remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian, how does the deer? And be honest. Unlike earlier when you were talking about all the podcasts, how does the deer storyline track on Reddit?
It's one of the most infamous. People hate it. They absolutely hate it.
it's a heel storyline. Then The fact that people are investing hate into it is actually good, you know?
What is the problem that people have with the deer storyline?
Like you were saying, it just feels completely out of place. I mean, it comes off as bizarre amongst all this chaos.
The thing is, there is quite a bit of chaos in this, right? Only on 90210 do people go to a housewarming party that this new character that they're all going to his party for the first time, and a fucking fire takes place, right? There's a deer lost in the woods. Donna's can't find it. Like, what kind of party is this, you know?
I mean, the fire's, like Larry was saying, if you're a California native, the fire's not far-fetched.
Totally.
I mean,
fires are happening. Yeah.
Which, did you guys ever do an earthquake?
They did
earthquake weather.
Yeah. Oh, wait, right.
We did that season 6, I think.
Because that's something, you know, yeah, a lot
Brandon
of...
Brandon gets stuck with Audrey or somebody with an elevator, someone giving birth, I think.
Yeah, I feel like though, like maybe there was peanut butter or a hot dog that got the deer there, but Tori is so kind and wonderful that the deer. Oh, they do seem like they have like wonderful chemistry.
There should be memes of that moment when the deer is with Donna. You know, we should have more memes of that.
She's a Disney princess.
No, that's a word.
She's a little Disney princess in this. She could have totally have done that, and she's really welcoming to it. And I do buy that the deer and her they're very good scene partners. The deer and
the other thing, as you know, is we introduced a new love interest for Donna in Cliff the Fireman, Cliff Yeager.
Okay, so let's talk about how did you find Greg Vaughn?
Greg Vaughn was
there's a lot. By the way, there was a lot of people that you had to audition. You had to audition this season. Season 7 was a lot of new faces coming into the room. So, Greg Vaughn.
You know what? We saw his tape. He was a jeans model. Kind of like, you know, later on we would have the other guy who was a jeans model. But yeah, he was a jeans model. And he did a reading, which was good enough. And we liked him. You know, we thought he'd work well because we knew the minute he's gonna, you know, she's gonna look at him, she's gonna love him because he's a beautiful man. He looks like he's gorgeous. So yeah, we thought we could take it away a little bit, you know, have some fun with that.
I love that, Larry. Good enough for a model.
Well, he wasn't gonna be a great actor, you know. He was green. He was not really an experienced actor in any way. He had in fact, he was greener than anyone I can imagine.
Well, maybe that other actor, the one that comes
in. I can't remember his name, but
the one that comes in after that Valor, the actor that's playing an actor.
His name is a great kid, and he's obviously had great success. What's
Jason
his name?
Lewis? Jason Lewis.
Jason Lewis.
Who also obviously played the same character in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was also a jeans model.
Well,
but that's what we cast, you know, again, in Spelling Casting. He wanted to have beautiful people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a Spelling show.
Melissa Skillins wants to know who's sleazier, Kenny or Mel?
I'm going to have to go with Mel. I have a problem with monogamy, Silver. That was the famous line. I have a problem with monogamy.
Is that a Mel line?
A direct quote. He says, I'm sorry. I just have a problem with monogamy.
He also says, what do you want me to do, Jackie? I like women.
Before we had Kenny Bannerman, that was Mel. You're right. He was our bad husband.
Yeah. Let's see what we have here. What other things happen in this episode? We have Donna and the deer. We have lots of shots of the fire. Wait a minute. I have something really good.
We have Tracy Gallion in this too.
Well, how about this? How about when everything is in total chaos? How about this?
Kelly, you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Well, what's the matter?
Nothing. I have a small problem with fires, in case you don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure this must be very upsetting.
Save it, Brandon.
Okay, why don't you just go home and we'll talk about whatever's bothering you later, okay?
We have nothing to talk about.
Why are you mad at me?
You don't know.
No, I don't know.
The night of the fire, Brandon, I needed you and you weren't there. I can't forget that.
I'm not asking you to forget it.
You know, you always thought that I was mad at you because I thought you were off sleeping with Emily Valentine, but that wasn't it. It was you.
It was me.
You.
Uh-huh.
The person I needed most in this world was not there for me.
You know what, Kelly? I've apologized to you about this until I'm blue in the face. I can't change it, can I?
No, you can't. I gotta go.
Drive safely.
He does say drive safely, which is very nice.
No, hey Brian, do you think it's okay to bring the fire back two seasons later?
Oh, absolutely. I love the callbacks. You also had the Lucinda callback earlier in the show when he Brandon's talking to Val about Kenny.
Yeah.
This is a lot with Kelly. This is a lot of, I mean, I know that she's so in trauma.
She's not herself, Peter. Phil, please forgive her. She's not herself.
I know we're going to go with this, Pete, and I have to agree. It's like, it's a lot.
It's a little bit much, really, to come at Brandon about this.
A guy's worst nightmare.
Like, we happened to be in a fire, so I'm going to throw back to the time when we were in a fire and you weren't around.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a free shot. You mentioned Larry, too. Tracy is in this, and we're finally Catherine West says, I worked Conan's agent when he was fired from NBC quite a time. Ha ha. Maggie does agree that she thinks Kenny was hot. Just a couple of things that are happening there. Tracy's here in this. And there is a scene here where, like, what's great, because we're early into season 7, where Brandon catches Tracy up on, like, everybody's shit. Like, this is what this person did.
Yeah, yeah. Claire went out with Steve. And then after Claire, David went out with Valerie, who lives in your house, but she's not here. How am I doing?
Perfect.
So the only one I haven't met is your former ex, Kelly Taylor, or one of your former exes.
She's right over there.
So this is another new character.
That was fun to do.
Yeah, but another
new... You want to claim stuff like that so it doesn't look so, we're claiming it. We own it.
Like I said, I love... There's so much continuity in this episode. Lots of callbacks, which I, as a fan, you know, fans appreciate that.
We realized that, Brian. You know, even though there was no social media then, we knew that we owed it to the fans who've been with us that they, you know, the characters had to react to their experiences. If they had experiences two seasons ago, we had to be real with it. Because if we, when we didn't, I will do say, it, they were,
they oh, and although I will, Brian has just hit, and although I will say,
the Lucinda callback, I remember Brandon and Valor talking about it, and he says he refers to Lucinda as a troubled woman. I'm like, was she troubled? I don't know. I think she just wanted what she wanted.
Brandon. Again, people don't always say the right thing.
Some things people are saying here. Dick goes from weed to heroin in 1 week.
Dick is looking to get high. Dick is dead.
Did you name him Dick knowing that they would that you would get someone to say Dick is dead, Dick is dead, Dick is dead?
I know, I did. I wrote that episode while waiting for jury duty, believe it or not, during the I was being sequestered for the OJ civil trial.
Oh, God. Is that true? That you were
I was in the jury pool. I was hoping to get out, obviously, but I was writing the episode while I was waiting.
Oh, that's crazy. Lindy says, the deer storyline is classic Donna, though.
Thank you.
I do agree with that.
The image of her, the Madonna and the deer, is meme-worthy.
Melissa says, Donna also collected a Peach Pit mouse in her hand in a previous episode.
You know, it was, and then we have Rocky. You know, go for the animals when you have nothing else to do. You know, this might have been the D storyline in Ian's defense.
What is this? Mel warns Jackie when she asks if he's sure there's nothing wrong with him. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. Warns? What are you trying to say?
Oh, she's saying that Mel warns her. I guess when they first meet.
That's right. That's right, Maggie. Yes, that's right. Okay, this is not going well for Val and Kenny Batterman.
Hello?
Valerie. I thought I missed you.
I was just picking up some dinner.
Oh. Dinner.
What's going on?
He just remembered it.
What?
Well, you sound completely weird.
Yeah, well, I've just been on the phone with my lawyer for the last hour.
About what?
It's not going to be as easy as I thought.
So what's that supposed to mean?
Well, it means that her lawyer is on the warpath already, and my lawyer doesn't want me to do anything foolish.
So that means me?
I don't know. I don't know. Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry.
Honey, it's just not going down the way that I thought. I mean, I could lose everything.
Excuse me. You need to sign these here and here.
And now you're saying, Larry, you said in the watch along, that's his real life wife.
Her name is Nancy Gion.
It's either a sister or a wife.
Right.
I wasn't prepared for this.
What did you think was going to happen?
Certainly not this.
So we're off for tonight, aren't we?
For tonight, unfortunately, yes. Can you handle that?
No, I can't.
Honest.
This is fantastic. I would watch a whole episode of this. That's just amazing.
I would too. Yeah. I would watch a 2-hour movie.
The last bit of the thing is she tells Kenny, she shows him the stick where she's pregnant.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. She fakes a pregnancy test. Brian, how does she do that?
How would I know?
I don't know. I'm just.
You have to keep watching, Pete.
Oh, God. I'm asking. I don't remember.
How did she supply that pregnancy? That was Gary Antista had to supply that pregnancy test.
Blue food color.
Oh, is that what you think it is? True. Maybe
blue color on the strip. Yeah, because if you look at it, the whole strip is blue, not just a stripe.
I think you're right about that. Maggie says everyone drink when they say dick, which is very funny. That is our next
fun with that. I think that was
for our next
Claire and Kelly disguise themselves as Ukrainian folk dancers.
For our next fan slam show, whatever that is, we need to incorporate saying dick every time.
How about when we do the rowing episode?
Okay, that works. The rowing episode.
The rowing competition.
Yes. The rowing, yeah, we haven't done that, I don't think.
No, we haven't. Lisa says,
again, great. You know, that was a chance to really give Lion a chance to really physically show himself off. These look so great, man.
Good location. Okay.
Well, you'll come back for that as well. this fire does extinguish. And everybody's okay, even though they tell them to leave the property. They want them off and get them out of there, and their lives are at risk, but they stay, the entire cast, including Kelly, who was leaving and then stayed, which was so, you know. This fire thing, Larry, how did you feel about this, rewatching this?
Oh, no, I love when we tried to, as much as we could, you know, depict LA culture, and it's just part of the culture. So I quite liked all that stuff going on there. And yeah, I thought, you know, there are lots of extras. I thought it really showed well, you know, the weather looked good. I mean, and again, we should point out, I wanted to explain, someone asked the question of why didn't David continue living there after Mark left, because this was Mark's family's house and David just got a good deal, you know, with Mark. So once Mark left California University, you know, Dave was shit out of luck. I mean, so we didn't really want to keep the location. And also, practically, it wasn't a location, a standing set for us. We had to rent it.
These poor people that rented the house that thought, this is going to be for the year. I'm going to pay my mortgage.
Probably so. Yeah, they probably thought they were going to have a good deal, because we were very generous, I'm sure. And, you know, we took care of places. We were not bad people.
They were also collateral damage from the Mark Reese removal, this house.
Absolutely. It cost them probably $50,000, $700,000 maybe.
Well, my understanding is that it's a pretty popular filming place. I saw this on Reddit earlier. I don't know if you can pull up the comments.
Hold up. You have Reddit comments and concerns.
There was a comment that referenced it that I didn't make the connection until today when somebody said this.
Okay, oh, well, is this no, it? Go sense. Ahead. This is it. Yeah. How did you enjoy shooting in Jennifer Jolie's house?
So they're referencing the film Scream 3. If anybody's seen Scream 3, I didn't make the connection. I'm a big fan of the Scream franchise, and they use this house in that film in Scream 3. Parker Posey's character.
Who is Jennifer Jolie?
I don't know what that means.
You know, it's a character. It's the name of a character in Scream 3, played by Parker Posey.
Oh, I love Parker Posey, by the way.
Yeah. So her character lives in this house in Scream 3. And I never made that connection before. And I looked it up, and it's apparently a really big, really famous filming location.
Oh, cool. Well, makes sense.
This is perfect for filming.
This used to be an industry town.
So they did okay, the house.
Yeah, that's what I was in there. I'm sure they were fine.
Somebody else came in.
Steve and Claire break up.
This is nature. Good versus evil. We fought. We won.
Awesome.
Don't worry. You'll probably only have to listen to this story for about 2 more centuries. Excuse me. I think 5 times is probably enough for me, considering I was there.
I just think that she just nailed that. Sorry.
Is it me or is she icier than usual?
It's me.
Okay.
Claire. What? Come on. Knock it off. What's the big deal?
Knock it off.
All you ever do is screw up and say you're sorry. This time you didn't even have the decency to say you're sorry.
How long are you gonna punish me, huh? I'm sorry, okay?
No, it's not okay. For months now, all we ever do is fight and make up, fight and make up. It's like a game. I'm sick of it.
Saying you want to break up?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And that's that.
You know, people rag on Claire, but she's got a point. It really is their relationship. He's always screwing up and just saying sorry. I mean, they can rag on her all they want, but she's at the end of the day, she's right.
Okay. Now, I never go against the Claire character ever. I am going to say something. At the start of this episode, and I didn't pull this clip, Claire is acting a little silly about Dick looking at her. She's kind of into it.
Yeah.
Not to say that that gives Steve permission to take it to the level that he did, but their relationship is definitely, they're struggling.
You know, they're young people. They flirt.
Yes, I think there's a line here that Claire says they can look, but they can't touch or something like that.
Right.
And that was a nice exchange they had, her and Dick. I really liked that little exchange they had. They were referencing Some Like It Hot. That was good.
Sorry. Exactly. I immediately thought I should.
Nobody's
I should.
Perfect. No, well, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Last line of.
This episode ends with, as you said, Valerie and the pregnancy test, and we're on our way. I think you did a great job in this episode introducing all of the people who we're going to see this season. What did you think of this, Larry, looking back on it?
I hadn't really seen this episode since, you know, the late 90s, I think. So, yeah, I was happy with the way it was done and put together. And like I said, the, you know, Chip Chalmers and Jerry Frizzell, the editor and the director, both really did a good job and all our crap. You know, again, it was really well done. It looked like a big budget show. This was not a double up, I'm pretty certain, because everyone's together for so long. It couldn't have been a double up. We couldn't have had two casts going. So it was a lot of attention. When, you know, sometimes when we had just one show going, you feel a whole other energy. And that felt pretty good to me. And again, I thought it worked pretty well. I thought we could hook people. I looked at the ratings. It was pretty decent, like 13 million people. It was right in the middle for that season. And yeah, I thought, you know, I was happy. It was good, you know, of the 32, you know, I wouldn't rank it at the top, but I wouldn't rank it at the bottom.
Of this season, what I love about this episode is the party. I think we all love to see like the party scenes where everybody's all hanging out and there's a lot of things we didn't mention, which we should mention, is the drinking, a couple of drinking things. One, David, you mentioned David being drunk and making margaritas and all of this. And we're seeing that, which is cool to see, you know, on TV that they're allowed to drink now and do college things.
Right, they're 21, so it's really full out.
We also see our friend Muntz, Ryan Thompson.
I was going to say, there's a Muntz, a stand-in Muntz also. There's a Muntz lookalike in one scene.
There's a Muntz that sprays tequila or margarita mix in a out of a gun. That is not Muntz.
Kind of like from season five in Palm Springs.
I was gonna say another callback.
But it wasn't Muntz, but it's dressed like Muntz because we see Muntz later on in the same costume.
It's almost like Muntz was running behind schedule and then they just gave him the other stuff to do. Because he does do some stuff.
If Ryan Thomas Brown is watching this, please explain what this is. We need to ask Ryan that.
Why is there a Muntz lookalike?
Yeah, we have a Muntz lookalike.
There was another question from Reddit, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think it's a long one. But
yeah, it is very long.
Cameron James says, did Claire, (Kathleen), choose her different hairstyles, or was that a stylist decision? We have
I'm going to answer the question. I know the answer. That Claire picked all of her hairstyles. Go ahead.
We have a drinking game just with soda pop that we have to drink every time Claire's hair changes. Second question.
Why is it just with soda pop? What is that about?
Maybe they're Mormons. That
feels like a really very lame game. No offense.
Maybe they're Mormons. You don't know.
Okay.
Are Mormons watching 90210? I don't know.
It's just kind of lame. Cameron James.
Second question. Did 90210 have a Bible? Sometimes it seems that different writers go in different directions with character traits, such as how a character like Val can create amazing lies, such as the pregnancy, in seconds, but then a few episodes later can't explain away something small with another lie.
This is a good question. This is a very good. This is a good question.
Are now, you know, there's a Bible. No, you have to basically go watch all the episodes. If you join the show, it's just going to understand it. But no, hey, look, we tried our best. You know, sometimes you screw up.
Yeah, but I'm curious about this Bible question, because was there some sort of, I don't want to say document or board, whiteboard, where you guys were outlining it all out?
No whiteboards ever. No whiteboards ever. That
well, after you, I just want to let you know, after you left, the writers, they told me that they had a whiteboard.
Yeah, that's why the show sucks. No whiteboards, okay? Get the whiteboards thing, you know.
So, in reality, there was a Bible, and that Bible was the people who stayed on the show and worked season after season, because that was Paul Wagner's thing.
Right, the living Bible,
so that everybody who's working there knows what we did before, so that when, say, a director comes in,
it was an oral tradition. Exactly, that's why we couldn't have big staff, because everyone had to understand the oral tradition
the other way.
You
want to swing that way. We did change it in one episode to swing the other way because whoever the director was, Paul Wagner, wanted to just go, fine, whatever.
But, wait a minute. A director came into 90210 and asked if the entire door. Walsh house can swing the other way.
No, just the front door.
Okay. That's
so instead of opening this way, that one episode it opened that way. And then it went back to the other way. Nobody ever noticed it. I was the one going, that's insane.
It is insane. It is insane.
Those of us who knew it were
in the movie. I'm surprised that we picked that up. Yeah.
And we could say, no, we've done this before and we haven't done that. That was as close as we had to a Bible.
What was this episode like for you, Drew? Was this a lot of work?
You know, it's funny. There's one thing in the in one of the sets, I was watching the episode, it made me remember one silly thing. There's like these kind of half circular doorways that have a piece of wood in them with a little decoration on them. I had gotten this catalog, this place in Chicago that made all these beautiful decorative things in forms, and they sent them to you, and the catalog had the wrong dimensions. So when we got them, they're like, they don't really fit in that thing, but we didn't have anything else. So we just centered them and stuck them in there, and they look so silly to me now.
There's a lot of moving parts here, though, Drew. There's cars, there's firefighters and whatnot. Is that a difficult day?
That's not one day.
No, I understand that, but is it a difficult setup? All that stuff. It feels like a lot for 90210. Fire.
Really. Well, I mean, not really, because the fire itself was an insert of separate.
Didn't happen there.
Yeah, right. it didn't happen there. So the only thing you had there was vehicles.
And special effects.
We did vehicles and people all the time, you know, and some special effects smoke. But, you know, we did that kind of stuff to create shafts of light and stuff in the Peach Pit After Dark all the time. So it really was just a different set of circumstances than anything else.
Mm. Brian, anything else on your end?
I don't think so.
Well, the David puking stuff. You touched on that a little bit, Larry.
But just looking at it, you know, I don't know. It didn't mean enough to me to have to put him in to make him look bad. In other words, the storyline didn't really weigh that I sacrificed my character, the guy, you know, make him look really like that. Yeah. I didn't like
it. I would agree with Larry. Watching this, I did say to myself, wow, David is kind of a lightweight. But
like, why? And why is
it? It wasn't a big enough point. It wasn't like, you know, we tried to do the thing with Randy Spelling where he gets, you know, food poisoning. I mean, alcohol
poisoning.
But yeah, so it just seemed like gratuitous. I just, you know, I grew up in Chips, and I had an executive producer named Cy Shermack who told me something which I never forgot. It was always protect your stars.
Mm.
And that was basically like the editor will show you one cut, and if it makes your star look bad, forget that cut. It doesn't matter if it was a good edit. You want the star to look good. And just looking at that, I just think, I thought we let David down because the storyline wasn't worthy of it. That it wasn't worthy of having to put him through that. It wasn't enough.
Maggie brings up a good point. We've seen David puke in Euphoria, which is an episode which you weren't there for, but Jessica would have been there for and would have known that David was a lightweight in fair to
women. Well, that's what his character was then. He was, you know, not.
But you know what? I got to say, I was there for Euphoria. In fairness to him there, the whole concept for Euphoria was rave culture and other things.
Yes.
So it didn't seem like, you know, somebody was a lightweight because of that circumstance.
That's right.
Whereas this one definitely feels like that.
Yes. Chrissy Lee says 90210 and Bible don't belong in the same sentence.
She's got a point.
She does. Okay, this is great, Larry. How's everything going with the hockey game?
Not as good as I'd like. No, Florida being Boston Bruins 2-1.
Okay.
He's got a good hockey team where he is, too. The Charlotte
Hurricanes.
Carolina. They're fighting for their lives against the Rangers.
Thank you very much. I think this was a great episode. This is a very interesting episode, Housewarming. I think we will be back next week to cover more things. Brian, do you have anything else that you want to add?
No. I think, like I said, we pretty much covered all bases. It was a good show.
Okay. Well, thank you all for this week. We will be back next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Ciao.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.